is go.
Thank you, this is go.
ETC is go.
Copy, this is go.
Houston flight is go.
Pilot go.
STM is go.
Safety cost is go.
SDE is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDI is go.
Launch director, NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Site Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not going to stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot and Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. It's Tuesday night, the 24th of May. Welcome to it. Hello, Diane.
Hello, Craig, and how are you?
Well, I'm good. I need to apologize to the listeners. We came on the air one full second too soon tonight. I feel bad about that.
I know. You were off your mark there.
I was. Well, look, normally we do a little chit-chat. We get caught up, you know, with how our day's been and everything. We're not doing that tonight because we have been monitoring breaking news since about 11:30 Central Time today. That is when a shooter entered a school in Uvalde, Texas. And, you know, he barricaded himself into the school. And it wasn't till about 2 o'clock Central Time this afternoon that they announced that the shooter was dead, and that 14 students and a teacher were also dead.
Yes. Very, very sad day.
You know, Skype is giving us issues again. Are you there? Yeah, what? There you are. Skype gave us some issues. You were just saying what?
For the life of me, I cannot understand why someone would go into a school of young children and just start shooting. It makes absolutely no sense. How evil can someone be to do something like that?
Well, I'll tell you what, it gets worse because apparently this all started at home. This 18-year-old shooter, his name is Salvador Ramos, killed his grandmother before he went to the school. Now, what we can tell you, and the details keep trickling in, we've been monitoring those details all afternoon, but here's what I can tell you. He shot his grandmother, apparently at home, got into a black pickup truck, looked like a four-door pickup truck, and wrecked the truck. I'm not sure exactly what happened to the truck, but the wheels on the driver's side were all caved in. So it looks like he slammed into a curb at a rather high rate of speed. Mm-hmm. It looks like sure. That, and then it ricocheted off and wound up in a ditch right near the school. Apparently, he then bailed out of the truck, ran into the school, and opened fire. What we know at this point is that he had a handgun and possibly a rifle of some sort, but we don't know what kind of handgun or what kind of rifle.
Right, and, you know, let's not jump to conclusion and say it's a semi-automatic. But let's not take that out of the realm of possibility. We really just don't know at this point, nor do we know his motive for it. However, Craig, we found some interesting things on his Facebook page, which has since been taken down.
Yeah, he had apparently a Facebook page. He had an Instagram page. We don't know what other social media he had, but I was able to grab a couple of photos off of his social media before that stuff disappeared. I put them up on my Facebook wall. He had a picture of a couple of rifles. He had a picture, one picture, it looked like ammo magazine in his lap, okay, and a couple of pictures of himself were on these social media posts. In one on Instagram, he told a woman who does not know him, okay, she does not live in Texas, she's never met this creep, she has no idea who this guy is, but he told her, and this goes back a couple of weeks ago anyway, told her, "I have a secret to tell you." There was a picture with the guns, right? So this sounds, in speculation, sounds like he may have been planning something like this.
Interesting.
Now,
Go ahead. This school is Robb Elementary School, and it's roughly 85 miles west of San Antonio. You know that by tomorrow morning, this incident will have taken on political tones.
Oh, we don't have
to happen.
We don't have to wait until tomorrow morning, Diane. I can give you the political tone right now. May I quote Hillary Clinton's tweet?
Oh, dear. Yeah, go ahead. I need a little sickness at, you know, the end of the day.
Okay.
So go ahead.
This is from Hillary Clinton's Twitter account. "Thoughts and prayers are not enough. After years of nothing else, we are becoming a nation of anguish screams. We simply need legislators willing to stop the scourge of gun violence in America that is murdering our children."
Okay, well, I got some news for Hillary Clinton. Those guns, or gun, depending how many it turns out were used, they didn't get, you know, off their shelves, drive themselves to the school, and pull their own triggers. We don't have to worry about the guns. We have to worry about the people who actually pull the triggers on those guns. And until people understand that, guns do not kill people. People kill people.
Now, Hillary says, "After years of nothing else, we are becoming a nation of anguish screams." So nothing has happened in this country for years on end other than this. Right? I mean, that's what she's trying to get across to you. After years of nothing else, we are becoming a nation of anguish screams. So apparently, the only thing going on in this country for years on end, forget the riots, right? Forget the BLM arson, looting, mayhem, and murder. Forget all of it. Forget everything. Forget the election of 2020. Hell, forget January 6th. Forget it. Never happened because nothing else has happened other than mass school shootings for years, according to Hillary Clinton.
Well, let's put it in a nutshell. Nothing Hillary says has any validity to it. And you know, Hillary, when children have been killed like this in cold blood, we don't need your campaigning and trying to place blame elsewhere. The blame for this shooting lies squarely on the shooter, who thankfully was shot dead by the police.
Well, that'll be the next thing, Diane. They'll say the police overreacted.
Yeah. I'd like to see the moron that has the audacity to say that.
Somebody
16
will.
Or 15 children lay dead, but the police overreacted?
Yeah,
really?
Somebody will. Well, you know, look, if the liberals had their way, Diane, and I can say this now because Hillary's opened the door to the political viewpoint.
Okay? Right.
If the liberals had their way, they wouldn't have sent cops to the school. They'd have sent a sociologist and a psychologist.
Right. Yeah, and then the coroner can come later on and pick up the remains. This, I'm waiting for this to be Trump's fault, because you know that's coming, and the Republicans' fault, and we need to ban the guns, the hell with the Second Amendment, and this and that, taking all blame off the actual killer. That's what they're going to do. They're going to divert and deflect the attention off the person who pulled the trigger.
Absolutely. It's what they always do.
And also, this is going to be used to deflect attention away from the economy. Gas prices are going up again off the recession. This, you know, these shootings of late have come at pretty questionable timing, if you ask me.
You know, there's a lot of people out there saying that, and I know what you mean. I really understand what you mean, but I can't bring myself to go there. There is never an opportune time for this type of thing, ever.
Oh, of course. Absolutely. You know? But they seem to surface around the time when there's political animosity going on within the country. If you look back at all the shootings of recent, there always seems to be some reason for a diversion. And I'm not saying these are planned by any means. Coincidences. But when you pile up enough coincidences, you kind of have to scratch your head. And at least...
Yeah. Look, I understand that. And here's part of the problem. Okay. This goes back to that old axiom from Rahm Emanuel, never let a crisis go to waste. And that's what the liberals do.
Exactly. I'm not saying that they, you know, the Democrats plan this to take, you know, the hot seat off of Biden. No, of course not. But it will be used to take, let's say, the hot seat off of Biden. They will use it to their advantage.
Right, but expect and Biden to come out. Yeah, it's wrong.
It's wrong on so many levels.
Expect Biden to come out in the next, maybe even yet tonight, but certainly by tomorrow. And he'll have some bizarre, obtuse statement about this, and he'll pretend to be angry. And the only reason he'll be able to be angry is because they probably withheld his pudding until after he made the announcement.
Well, he might keep his mouth shut for a few days because he is in the Far East right now. I don't think he's back in the States yet.
Can we convince them to just keep that idiot?
Yes, wouldn't that be nice? This is going to become a political opportunity for the left to again attack the Second Amendment.
Sure.
They're going to completely ignore the fact that someone has to pull the trigger. And somehow, some way, it's Trump's fault.
Yeah. You know, you're right. They'll try to blame it on Trump. Can I bring up a couple of obvious things in this?
Absolutely.
This shooting, like so many before it, took place in a gun-free zone, in a liberal gun-free zone. That's what schools are. Gun-free, target-rich.
Mm-hmm. Okay?
That's one obvious thing. Here's something that's going to give the liberals fits. This shooter, this 18-year-old kid, now dead, thankfully, this kid does not fit the liberal narrative. They cannot blame this on systemic racism. This kid was Hispanic.
That's the brown race, according to the liberals. So they will try to use it as systemic racism.
Well, they might. The liberals
classify Hispanics as brown people. Whether they are as white as you and I, they are brown people.
Well, but here's the problem.
So I don't know. It's going to go nasty.
Oh, it's going to get real nasty real fast. Here's the problem they're going to have, though. Okay. They could say, well, systemic racism in this country drove this kid to do it, right? But the problem with that is, this is a school in Uvalde, Texas, second, third, and fourth grade students. And I guarantee you, Uvalde, Texas is heavily Hispanic in ethnicity.
I would guess so. It's a suburb 85 miles west of San Antonio. And you know that's Castro Brothers territory.
Yeah, so you wonder, you know, we don't know at this point. There may be more than 14 students and the one teacher. We know there was a couple others that were in critical condition as of maybe 45 minutes ago. We don't know. We certainly hope for the best that those people that were wounded survived. There was a couple of police officers that were also injured in this whole thing. They are expected to survive as far as we know. But your heart goes out to the parents of these kids in this school, second, third, and fourth graders. You know, we're talking about little seven, kids. Eight, 9 years old, little kids.
Seven, eight, and nine. Yeah.
Yeah. How many of these kids were Hispanic, you know, that got killed? But, you know, that's not going to keep the liberals from trying to blame racism, right?
Of course. Of course, they'll pull out that race card for any and everything, and they will monopolize and capitalize on the deaths of 14 children. And that's, it's just disgusting.
It's sick.
It's just disgusting.
You know, we certainly hope the death toll doesn't go any higher than it has already. Hillary Clinton ought to be ashamed of herself. After years of nothing else, we're becoming a nation of anguish screams.
Yeah, really, Hillary? Why don't we talk more about the 86 people that kind of met untimely ends, you know, an end? We won't go any further, but everybody knows what I'm talking about.
You know, I didn't.
How about their untimely end, Hillary?
I didn't hear her making any proclamations when 13 American military personnel were killed trying to get out of Afghanistan. You know, and her answer to Benghazi. Yeah, her answer to Benghazi was, at this point, what difference does it make?
Exactly. So Hillary needs to keep her big mouth shut. And fade away in prison.
Yes, preferably. Folks, we'll kind of keep an eye on things. If there's anything else that breaks coming out of Uvalde, Texas, we'll let you know at you know, after the bottom of the hour break or after the top of the hour break. We'll kind of keep an eye on it for you. Certainly, we'll know more and have more to say about this coming up on the show Friday night. So you want to tune in for that. But we do have a few other things to talk about in this segment. Diane, one is Biden apparently wants to go to war with China.
Yeah, he stuck his foot in his mouth again. You know, the man who wouldn't send our military, even voluntarily, into Ukraine to help the Ukrainians fight for freedom, is more than willing to go ahead to head with China over Taiwan, it seems.
I don't see that ending well, if it comes to not for us.
I don't either. I don't either, because Taiwan is not our fight either. But yet you're going to go into Taiwan, but you won't go into Ukraine. Well, we know why you're not going to go into Ukraine, because, you know, Putin's got information on you.
Yeah.
What? and your wonderful son, Hunter. But what's his reasoning for making such a stupid statement, putting us smack in the middle of an altercation with China?
Well, I mean, look, if he can't get Ukraine to blossom into World War III, he can certainly get the whole China thing too. I mean, if China goes into Taiwan, tries to take Taiwan, Biden says, yeah, well, our military will defend Taiwan. Well, okay. So let's see. Our military would be going up against China. China's allies are Russia, North Korea, Iran.
Yep. And Syria.
And Syria. You know, so, you know, we open a shooting war with China, and all of a sudden, you've got instant World War III. You've got World War III faster than you can make oatmeal.
Yeah. And folks, this is the second time in recent months that Biden has said this. And, you know, the press corps is trying to do their cleanup of Biden's remarks, but you can't clean it up. He said this clear as day.
Oh, they tried to walk it back, but you can't.
No. No. And it's...
Skype, come on, Skype. Okay, you're back.
It's out again?
Not okay. Now, it's back.
I don't know why, because I'm not even touching anything.
I'm just sitting here at my desk minding my own damn business. I'm not touching anything either.
Me too, so I don't know where it's coming from, but it doesn't matter. We're back. He's actually, in a way, baiting China to invade Taiwan.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, and that's a very dangerous situation he's putting us in.
I don't get it. You can't walk it back. You can't clean it up.
No.
It's a pile of stinking poop that he left while he was over there, you know, at this summit meeting.
Yeah. You know, when some of the commentators are saying, him saying what he said could be an expression of his deep personal disquiet about the Ukraine invasion and the prospect of something similar happening in Taiwan. I hate to tell Uncle Joe, but they're totally two different situations.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the common denominator is Biden.
Is Biden again. Yeah. He seems to be putting himself in the middle of situations that he's ill-equipped to deal with.
I think it actually goes deeper than that, Diane. I think, you know, you look at Putin over in Russia, look at Xi over in China. They're looking at Biden going, you know, if we're going to do something, the time is right. You know, there's an idiot in the White House. He doesn't know what he's doing. He can't put two sentences together. He's turning their military into a bunch of woke snowflakes. You know, they're looking at Biden and they're saying, now's the time. They weren't going to do any of this when Trump was in office. But boy, with Biden in there, you know, it's a different story.
Well, here's something else that's very interesting. The U.S., actually has no official ties with Taiwan, but does have a law which requires us to provide the island with the means to defend itself. Well, Joe, there's other ways for Taiwan to defend itself without sending in American troops.
You think he's going to listen to you?
Promise them the equipment you promised Ukraine that Ukraine doesn't have yet, because it's still somewhere in back order or something, send that over to Taiwan. I mean, this whole thing is ludicrous. This man, not only is he single-handedly destroying our country with the aid of his Democrat cohorts, but now he wants to basically start a war with China, which will leave Taiwan probably in the same condition as Ukraine.
You know, the guy is willing to give the Taliban hundreds of millions of dollars of U.S. military hardware and ammunition and weapons. He won't send anything to Taiwan or to Ukraine. And now he's vowing to use the military to defend Taiwan. This is the most absurd foreign policy I've ever heard of.
I'll go one step further. This whole administration is absurd.
Won't get any argument from me. Finally, yeah. In this segment, just a few minutes left here, but I want to get this in. If you live in the upper Midwest, Iowa, Michigan, maybe Wisconsin, North Dakota, you know, kind of in that area, or even if you live out in California, maybe up in Oregon, Washington, expect this summer to have rolling blackouts. And Diane, there's a good reason for that, isn't there?
Oh, they're going to blame it on, of course, climate change. And the problem is, when we went down with our little Skype for a couple of seconds, my notes went down.
Oh, no. Well, here's the deal. Wind and solar are not holding up their end of the deal as far as the green energy crap is concerned because they're unreliable. Right. As those states go more and more to wind and solar, their power grid becomes less and less reliable. And when summer comes and things warm up, people like to turn on the air conditioning in their house. And when they do that, there's more need than there is power. And so those states are going to be talking about having rolling blackouts throughout the summer.
Yeah. Now, isn't it kind of strange? You know, people don't think, okay, with their windmill power and their solar power, you know, isn't the greatest thing when the sun's not out? You know, you need the sun, and if you have, let's say, 2 weeks of overcast or rain, well, there goes your solar power. And then with your windmills, what people forget, it's not just the wind that powers up the windmills, but it needs electricity.
Exactly. You know, and let me dispel the rumor right now. They're not windmills, they're wind turbines. Every one of those things is its own independent commercial power plant, and a very inefficient power plant at that. You know, solar only captures about 15-20% of the energy that goes into it, comes back out of it. That's horribly inefficient. Like Diane said, if the sun's not shining, if it's raining, if it's at night, you know, the sun tends to go down every night like clockwork. If the wind's not blowing, more rolling blackouts.
Exactly. And people don't understand, or they understand but refuse to accept as fact, we need fossil fuels. We need electric plants. We need coal. We need oil. We need gas. This whole green energy thing can be an adjunct to our energy grids, but it can't be our main energy grids. It's not sustainable.
Not sustainable. It's not reliable. The parts that they make this crap from are non-recyclable. Mm-hmm. It's not green. It's not green. It's wind turbine costs more to build, ship, erect, and maintain than the amount of energy it will ever put out.
Exactly.
Just
people,
a fact.
You know, they bought into this whole green nonsense. Yeah, we could basically improve, let's say, our fossil fuel distribution, how it's put out there, how it operates. We can tweak it. We can do things like that. But we can't let this greeny weeny stuff take over. It's not going to work.
Well, and this summer is going to be the proof in that pudding.
Yes.
So there you go. Folks, we've reached the bottom of the hour. It means we got to take a quick break. A half an hour from now, I'm going to be talking about take your chosen pronouns and buzz off. But when we come back from this short break, Diane's got it with Biden's America, where infants now go hungry. Folks, stay with us. There's plenty more to come on Right Side Patriots after this.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sori. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi guys, Diane Sori from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out The National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on rspradio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sori at the Patriot Factor. Glad you're with us tonight, folks. But if you miss any part of the show, like that one extra second we had at the very beginning of the show, if you miss that, you can go to rspradio1.com tomorrow, and you can click on the podcast button, and there it shall be.
Yes.
Okay, Diane, so this baby food formula shortage has been all over the news. It's not getting any better. They need distractions from it, but you focused like a laser beam on this in an op-ed under the title of Biden's America Where Infants Now Go Hungry.
Yes, and let's start with this quote. We are not expecting a food shortage here at home. That was said by former White House press secretary, you know, the infamous Jen Psaki. And those were her words right before the shortage of infant formula was officially announced. Now, food shortages, gas prices going through the roof, on top of inflation at an all-time high, all courtesy of Biden administration's failed economic policies that are now affecting each and every one of us. And while skyrocketing gas prices and corresponding short supplies echo back to the gas lines of the 1970s, it's food shortages which are most critical, for we all need to eat. So, as supermarket and big box store shelves become empty more times than not, it's the shortages of much-needed infant formula that dominates the news, as desperate parents are being forced to drive hours in search of said formula, oftentimes returning home empty-handed. A true domestic crisis that is hurting America's most vulnerable, as infant formula, once easily found at one's local grocery store, now sees what few cans that are left sometimes selling for 40% higher than usual, making them cost prohibited for many lower income parents. Both upset and frustrated at the same time, these parents rightfully see the scarcity of what is a true necessity as putting the health and the life of their infants in jeopardy. And while this administration continues spewing the rhetoric that said shortages are due to a recall at a major infant formula company, the real reason for these shortages should have each and every American furious, whether one needs to buy infant formula or not. Why so? because once again the media is covering for Biden and crew while giving we the people the proverbial finger so as to protect and let thrive the now incoming illegal next generation Democrat voting bloc. And while a number of politicians on both sides of the political aisle say they are angry because infant formula is...
Uh-oh. Hang on, Diane. Okay, you're back.
Okay. Should I start that one again?
Yeah, please do.
Okay, and while a number of politicians on both sides of the political aisle say they are angry because infant formula is being shipped to Ukraine instead of to stores here in our country, as in it's part of the humanitarian aid we send to Ukraine to help now displaced families with young children, the fact is that what formula we send to Ukraine pales in comparison to where our infant formula supplies are really going. So, Craig, where is this infant formula really going? But to our southern border to help feed the illegal offspring either brought here or birthed here by their illegal parents.
You know, the interesting part of that, Diane, is how we found out that this was happening at the border. You know,
yes.
And typical of liberals, they got mad at the messenger, not the message, right?
Exactly. And the proof about all this, about 2 weeks ago, Representative Kat Kamak, she's a Republican from Florida, posted images on her Facebook and Twitter pages, images sent to her by a 30-year Border Patrol agent, images of pallets of infant formula that had just recently arrived at the Ursula Migrant Processing Center in McAllen, Texas. And accompanying the photos were Kamak's words, quote, "The first photo is from this morning at the Ursula Processing Center at the U.S. border, shelves and pallets packed with baby formula, while the second is from a shelf right here at home, form they do not take sign." And Representative Kamak was also told by the same agent that not only had other tractors full of pallets arrived before these, but that at least three more pallets were scheduled to arrive shortly. And here I have the video of the representative in her own words showing a bunch of the pictures that the agent sent her. Now, nothing like allowing America's infants to go hungry as long as illegal baby bellies are full. What a sad commentary on life in America today. But in what is Biden's and the Democrats' twisted way of thinking, I guess they just might consider the plight of America's hungry infants being payback of sorts for the hopefully soon to be repealed Roe v. Wade decision. Translation? What liberals can't kill by abortion, they'll kill by starving our infants and call it afterbirth abortion. Craig, I know it's sick, but what other justification can there really be for infant formula to be missing from America's store shelves while readily showing up at our southern border detention centers?
You know, earlier you mentioned Jen Psaki, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, what garbage came from her mouth on a daily basis in the time that she was standing at that podium. But what she had to say about this and what Biden had to say about this, the baby formula shortage, really did not connect or jive, did they?
No, it didn't, because, you know, she spewed on national television that shipping said infant formula to the border was, and these are her words, morally the right thing to do. We certainly support the implementation of it. Now, here are Biden's excuses as to why such shortage is happening and still happening now. First, Biden continues to blame the current nationwide shortage and product rationing of both name brand and specialized infant formulas on a late February recall by Abbott Nutrition Laboratories' main plant in Sturgis, Michigan. And why the recall? Because a number of complaints were levied against Abbott, our nation's largest baby formula producer, in regards to six infants who had been fed their powdered Similac formula, which parents must carefully mix with water at home, and came down with serious Coronabacter Sakazaki infections, resulting in two deaths and four illnesses. And even though Abbott stated after an FDA investigation that, quote, no evidence was found to link our formulas to these infants' illnesses, meaning the contamination could actually have happened at the infants' homes while the formula was being prepared and not at the Abbott plant, Abbott still had to initiate a recall and shut down its plant as per a government request, both to err on the side of caution and to meet new government regulations, whatever those regulations might be. But here's some news for Joe Biden. There are four corporations that manufacture and or distribute the majority, but not all of the infant formula used in our country, meaning there's more than just Abbott making and selling highly specialized infant formula. In fact, Mead Johnson is the maker of Enfamil, which is second only to Abbott's Similac in sales. So Biden blaming Abbott for formula unavailability is an excuse that simply does not fly. And here, please note that infant formula from China should never be used, as it's not only illegal to sell it here in the U.S., but that it does not even come close to meeting U.S. infant nutritional and safety standards. And Biden should also know that the specific issue regarding powdered Similac and its unfortunate resulting ramifications are so limited in scope, numbers-wise, compared to the millions of said formulas safely being consumed daily, that there was no reason, except political, to even suggest.
Oh, we lost Diane again. Hang on, Diane. Hang on. Okay, you're back. Start that one over again,
okay,
will you?
Okay, there was no reason. Okay. And Biden should also know that the specific issue regarding powdered Similac and its unfortunate resulting ramifications are so limited in scope, numbers-wise, compared to the millions of said formulas safely being consumed daily, that there was no reason, except political, to even suggest that this plant be shut down as it continues to interrupt the formula resupply chain for many more months to come. So why this delay? Because Abbott first needed FDA approval to restart operations, which as of last Monday seems to have been gotten by Abbott, agreed to fix safety issues at its Sturgis plant. However, it will still take at least 6 to 8 or possibly more weeks to get up to the normal production speed so that infant formula is again readily available in stores. That's a long time for America's infants to go hungry, all while pallets of infant formula still arrive at the southern border almost daily. So what is Abbott, a private company, doing to help the situation while they await the restart of their Michigan operation? To help ease the nightmare that the Biden administration alone has created, Abbott has not only begun, quote, airshipping millions of cans of infant formula powder into the U.S. from its U.S. Food and Drug Administration registered plant in Cudahill, Ireland, but it has also, quote, prioritized infant formula production at our Columbus, Ohio facility, converting other liquid manufacturing lines into manufacturing Similac liquid ready to feed. Now, at least something positive is being done by Abbott to get their powdered Similac infant formula back into empty store shelves. But, Craig, this should never have been needed to be done in the first place, most especially if America's infants had been given priority over those infants coming into our country illegally.
You know, that's a great point. And another point, and I don't want people to just brush by this. So I'm going to I'm going to word it just a little bit differently. What we have here in Abbott is a private company doing more to help this situation than the government.
Exactly.
Okay, even though the government caused the shortage, Abbott, a private company, is stepping up. The government is not. But let's talk a little bit here about the FDA, because didn't they okay foreign formula to come in? What's the deal with that? What are the details that swirl around that?
There's quite a few caveats with that. Okay, so while the FDA did approve the sale of foreign-made infant formula here in the U.S., while also permitting formula that was manufactured here but was intended for export only, as quality might or might not be up to our stringent standards, to instead be sold domestically, Biden finally came to pressure from both parents and lawmakers alike when last Wednesday he finally invoked the Defense Protection Act, almost 3 months after what has become a nationwide infant formula crisis, announcing what he called Operation Fly Formula, a program that would direct the Department of Defense to use its contracts with commercial air cargo lines to pick up and deliver overseas formula that do meet U.S. health standards. The problem is that Biden did not announce exactly which and only which countries the formula would be gotten from. Questionable to say the least, especially since foreign manufacturers will first have to apply with the FDA to be able to ship said formula to the U.S. and then wait until the agency conducts a review to assure both formula quality and safety. And who knows how long that will take. And while the first shipment of formula from Europe bound for Indianapolis, Indiana, left Ramstein Air Force Base in Germany at 5 a.m. Sunday, May 22nd, on a C-17 cargo plane instead of on a commercial cargo plane, Biden still has not given us even a vague idea as to when this crisis might end. Not good. Especially when formula manufacturers here in the U.S. predict that shortages will possibly continue through the end of this year. And while the White House Appropriations Committee did introduce an emergency measure that would provide $28 million to the FDA to deal with both this current crisis and prevent any future ones, nothing Biden and his administration have done to date will get our store shelves stocked any faster. Now, as for the administration's second excuse for the formula shortages, Biden claims that by their sending supplies of infant formula to the border means they're following the letter of the law. How so? Back in 1985, two illegal supporting advocacy groups filed a class action lawsuit on behalf of immigrant children, read illegals here, being detained by the Immigration and Naturalization Service by challenging already in place procedures regarding the detention, treatment, and release of minor children. And Craig, while years of litigation failed to settle this issue, including an appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court, an agreement acceptable to all parties involved was reached in 1997.
You know, the more you dig into this, the more bizarre it gets. But let's go back to the border thing, right? Because we've got baby formula galore at the southern border for illegal aliens that are pouring across our border from hundreds of different countries around the world. Aren't there regulations that deal with some of those aspects? Aren't there caveats in that, too?
Yeah. Well, I've included here direct links to the Flora Settlement Agreement so people can see in detail what this is. But amongst other things that it does, it sets the limit on both the length of time and the conditions under which minor children can be incarcerated in immigration detention centers. And while President Trump proposed regulations seeking to terminate said agreement, which included but was not limited to how border facilities must meet the basic needs of detained illegal minors, including providing, quote, age appropriate
Hang on. This darn thing. Okay, we're back. Go ahead.
All right. I'm not going to start at the beginning, but let's just say, okay. Trump proposed regulations seeking to terminate said agreement, which included but was not limited to how border facilities must meet the basic needs of detained illegal minors, including providing age-appropriate food and drink. Now, Trump did so because our border was being overrun by the sheer number of those coming here illegally, with most, as expected, with their hands out for the Democrats' promised free stuff. Free stuff given at we, the taxpayers' expense. And now, with serious shortages of infant formula across the U.S., what Trump wanted to do back then becomes even more imperative to do now. Simply, America's children must always come first, no ifs, ands, or buts. And with the number of currently detained minor children of infant age being in but the thousands, why then are we sending pallet after pallet of infant formula to the border, which infants normally do not need after turning 1 year old, when those very pallets are desperately needed here to help feed America's millions of infants? Why? Because bleeding heart liberals care more about illegals than they do America's own, while Democrat leaders look at said infant children as future Democrat votes. And that leads me to wonder, what would happen if American moms and or dads decided to secretly cross into Mexico and then come back here posing as illegals? Would they then be able to get some of the formula readily available at the border? A possible option that I've said tongue in cheek, but who knows, for in Biden's America, stranger things have indeed happened. And to that I say, case closed.
Yeah, it's such a conundrum. Right? I mean, you got people coming into this country illegally.
Right.
We're breaking the law.
Right.
And we're taking better care of them than we are of our own people.
And our infants, the most vulnerable among us, are paying the price. Children. There are now being infants being admitted to American hospitals whose nutritional needs are not being met. They're not getting all their vitamins and minerals. And, you know, some are saying, oh, well, the mothers can breastfeed. Let me tell you, not every mother can breastfeed. And the other thing which really gets me is when this crisis first happened and it was found out that the infant formula is readily available at the border, why the hell didn't those pallets get shipped back here to our country? Take them away and bring them back here.
Well, because as Jen Psaki said, providing the formula down there at the border to the people breaking our laws and coming here illegally is morally right. The right thing to do.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, if you ask me, the morally right thing to do is to take care of our own. If we got more than we need, then we can take care of other people.
Exactly. And by the way, this Abbott Laboratory, as I mentioned, while it might be the largest producer of specialized infant formula in our country, there actually are four producers. It's Abbott, Mead Johnson Nutrition, Gerber, and Perrigo Nutritionals. And they all produce their version of the Similac. Now, what's also not being said, the shortages is in Similac powder formula. It is available in liquid. However, and this is what some people need to understand, it's almost double the price. And not every, you know, parent can, you know, afford that. So the powder is their alternative. They mix it at home. But sometimes, you know, you've got to follow those instructions exactly.
Right.
So that's why Abbott issued that statement. They could not find the breach in their company to cause the illness in the infants. Yet the infants did become ill and two died. Could the formula have been mixed wrong? Unintentionally, of course. Yes. but there's no way of knowing. The main problem is when Abbott was shut down and the others could not keep up with the supply, those pallets at the border should have been immediately brought back home.
Well, Abbott, I mean, I think you mentioned it in here. Don't they provide like 40-some percent of all the formula in this country? That's an awfully big amount.
It's not that high. There are some sites reporting that it's really not that high.
Okay.
Because Mead Johnson, which does Enfamil, has a pretty hefty share of it as well.
Okay.
I don't think 60% is split by those three. And there are many other minor players who supply infant formula, especially the hypoallergenic ones. This is the one that's most in question, the Similac, because that's made for babies that can't digest regular milk or soy formula. It's highly specialized. It had no business going to the border when our children were starving. And basically, they were starving. You can't get the formula and you can't breastfeed. What are you supposed to do?
Well, but here's the real thing. Okay, here's the real issue. When the government shut down Abbott over this thing, they apparently never saw this coming. How can you not see this coming? I don't care if they only do 20%.
Right.
Okay. When you shut down a baby formula plant in the U.S., let's say only does 20% of all the formula in this country, you have to know immediately that as long as that plant is shut down, it's going to put a terrible strain on the system.
Right.
The others don't make what Abbott makes. They make different things. You shut down Abbott or any of them, okay?
Right.
You shut down any of them, you're going to have an instant shortage on your hands.
Exactly.
The government never saw it coming.
Yeah, they never saw it coming. If that's how inept this administration is, that they did not see this coming, this administration should not be in power.
Well,
because what this administration did, they put criminals, because they are the children of criminals who come and enter our country illegally, they put the health, safety, and welfare of criminals over American children.
So I'm going to ask you, Diane, in the minute we have left here, to take off your op-ed hat and put on your custom-designed Craig Cynic hat. And I want to know if you think not seeing this shortage coming was intentional or was it simply incompetence?
I don't think even Biden and crew would be that vicious as to deliberately starve America's infants. I think it's gross incompetence and gross negligence.
All right. I can go with that. I can go with that.
I won't go so far as to say it's deliberate, but it's unbelievable negligence on their part.
Folks,
where was the FDA?
Yeah.
You just have to wonder.
The title on the op-ed is Biden's America, Where Infants Now Go Hungry. You can find it at Diane's blog, thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, or at rspradio1.com. Either place, you can pick up that link and share it everywhere. So much information in the article, so many things the mainstream media will never, ever tell you about this shortage. You deserve to know, and people you know deserve to know. So get the link, Diane's blog, thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, or rspradio1.com, and share that link everywhere. With that, we've made it to the top of the hour. That means we have one segment left in the show. So we'll be talking about take your chosen pronouns and buzz off. Stay with us. There's more Right Side Patriots after this.
Hi guys, Diane Sori from the Patriot Factor on the patriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out the National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sori. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. If you missed any part of the show, including the extra second at the beginning of the show, go to rspradio1.com tomorrow, click the podcast button, and become one of the pod people.
Mm-hmm.
We love our pod people.
Yes, we do, and we're getting more of them by the day.
Well, you know what? While Diane was taking on the baby formula shortage, I was taking on something else that kind of got overshadowed in the news a little bit, and when I first read this, when I first saw the headline, I thought, no, this can't be right. Turns out it was right.
Mm-hmm.
Take your chosen pronouns and buzz off. Okay. So it has come to light that in Wisconsin, in Keele, Wisconsin, to be specific, three middle school boys have been charged with sexual harassment. Well, those are serious charges, but what on earth did these three kids do? Were they making comments regarding a good-looking teacher? Did they touch somebody inappropriately? What exactly happened? Well, that's exactly what the mother of one of the offenders wanted to know. What did Rosemary Rabideau's 13-year-old son, Braden, do to wind up being charged with sexual harassment? It was explained to Rosemary by the principal that her son had failed to address a student by that student's chosen pronoun. Oh, the horror. Apparently, there was a girl in class that was pretending to be more than one person and wanted to be referred to as they or them rather than she or her. And when another student, a soft-spoken boy, didn't do it, didn't call the girl they or them, that girl went back crap crazy. According to the story, the girl began to scream at the soft-spoken boy, berating the boy, and screaming profanities at the boy. Well, that's when Braden got involved because that boy, who was being screamed at, was Braden's friend. Braden Rabideau stood up for his friend and apparently told the girl, quote, he doesn't have to use proper pronouns. It's his constitutional right not to use. You can't make him say things, unquote. Well, Rosemary Braden's mother thought the charges against her son were some sort of joke at first, but she soon learned that the school was quite serious. Her son and the two other boys had indeed been charged with sexual harassment in violation of Title IX. Now, Diane, here it should be noted that where sexual harassment is concerned, Title IX lists sexual harassment as, quote, any unwelcome sexual conduct, such as unwelcome sexual advances, requests for sexual favors, and other verbal, nonverbal, or physical conduct of a sexual nature, unquote.
Well, here you mentioned what Title X lists as, you know, what is sexual harassment. But there's certain things that Title X makes absolutely no mention of, and yet he's being charged with violating title, you know, the Title X, for doing things that are not even in this title.
I know, and that's why I brought it up. There's good reasons for this. Look, first, Title IX makes no mention of chosen gender, nor does it define one's gender, chosen or real, as sexual or an act of sex or physical conduct. It fails to make such distinctions because doing so would be making false distinctions. The other reason I bring up what Title IX says with regard to sexual harassment is because Title IX exists to protect females in all school functions. It's very important to understand that, because if the profanity-spouting, bat-crap, crazy girl isn't a girl, Title IX has nothing whatsoever to do with her. Now, Brad Ebert is the Keele, Wisconsin School District Superintendent and apparently a woke snowflake, and he said that the district doesn't comment on student matters, but regardless of what his chosen pronoun might be, did say the KASD prohibits all forms of bullying and harassment in accordance with all laws, including Title IX, and will continue to support all students regardless of race, color, religion, national origin, ancestry, creed, pregnancy, marital status, parental status, sexual orientation, sex including transgender status, change of sex or gender identity, or physical, mental, emotional, or learning disability, protected classes, in any of its student programs and activities. This is consistent with school board policy. We do not comment on any student matters, unquote. Now, that brings up yet another concern that I don't believe this particular woke snowflake, Brad Ebert, has even considered. What happens when the shrieking violet in question, the girl who was screaming profanities at the boy, or any other student or teacher, suddenly decides to change their gender again? Because apparently you can do that by making a wish, clicking your heels together 3 times, and blowing out a candle. Diane, what happens when she, on a Tuesday, decides to be a they and then decides on Friday to be a jar of mayonnaise? Now, laugh if you want to, but a jar of mayonnaise is one of the 63-plus genders recognized by liberal idiots and woke snowflakes. Diane, how does a kid like Braden or his quiet friend, what are they supposed to do to keep track of what those who ride the short bus to school want to be called on any given day?
Yeah, and you know what's overlooked? These kids, in especially K through grade 3, they're just kids. They pretend. They pretend they're dogs, they're cats, they're supermen, they're superheroes. Their life is pretending. That's what childhood is about. And all of a sudden, these teachers are throwing in all this sex stuff at them. They don't even know what the sex is.
Well,
and yet they're being indoctrinated with it.
It's bizarre, it's disgusting, and it's got to be a whole lot harder at that age, right? Because kids then pretend to be all sorts of things hour by hour. And considering that liberal indoctrinators are grooming kids to be gender fluid beginning in kindergarten, by the time a boy with a sense of reality reaches the sixth grade, he's likely to have to register as a gender, as a gender predator, and then won't be allowed to play in the park. Look, I believe there are a few problems with the way these things are being handled in our schools that we really need to discuss. The problem with prohibiting all forms of bullying in schools is that bullying is subjective. It changes faster than kids change their favorite songs. What's bullying today probably wasn't yesterday, and things that aren't considered bullying now probably will be tomorrow. Under the liberal woke snowflake definition of bullying, it's anything a woke snowflake doesn't want to hear. For instance, if you tell a woke snowflake that DNA matters and that nobody can change their DNA, meaning that nobody can actually change their gender, you would be 100% correct, but you would also be accused by the woke snowflake of being a bully. So sit down and shut the hell up, you Nazi racist bastard, you. Another problem is the problem of pretending to be something you're not. In Keele, Wisconsin, a student is allowed to pretend to be whatever they choose to pretend to be, and accordingly, everybody else in the school must pretend right along with them or be charged with criminal activity. In other words, if someone doesn't pretend along with the pretender, they're guilty of a crime. Now, this is completely bass-ackwards to what you might think would happen in the real world. For instance, just a short time ago, a couple of weeks ago, in Scottsbluff, Nebraska, of all places, a cop pulled over a driver who'd been speeding recklessly through town, nearly colliding with a parked car. Now, the cop asked the driver what his name was. The driver told the cop that his name was Andrew Jackson. Now, the cop soon learned that the driver's real name was Adrian Jimenez. And after the cop had a canine officer give the car the nasal appraisal, the cop found over 6 grams of illegal mushrooms, a baggie of meth, a digital scale, and an open container of alcohol. It was later discovered that Jimenez had been on a suspended Nebraska driver's license. The guy who was pretending to be Andrew Jackson was arrested for possession of a controlled substance, possession of methamphetamine, driving under suspension, reckless driving, possession of narcotic paraphernalia, having an open container of alcohol, and providing false information to a law enforcement officer. Diane, according to Keele, Wisconsin school district rules, that last charge would not have applied, and the cop would have been expected to pretend the driver was actually Andrew Jackson. But as things stand right now, Andrew Jackson is sharing a cell with Benjamin Franklin in the Scottsbluff County Jail.
Well, you know, Keele, Wisconsin is not the only place where this kind of stuff is happening. Or these instances, while they're very similar, they have little Picadillo differences between them, but it all boils down to 3 words.
Yeah, it does. I call it asshattery. Okay, that's what's taking place around our country. It's also happening in Fairfax County, Virginia. Okay, and they're going to be voting on a handbook of new rules later this month. The Fairfax County Public School Students' Rights and Responsibilities Handbook includes rules that make malicious deadnaming and malicious misgendering of classmates a level 4 offense, allowing for suspension of up to 5 days. Quote, if frequency and intensity are present, unquote. Now, dead naming is a term I'd never heard before, so I had to look it up. Dead naming, by the way, is defined as when someone intentionally or not refers to a person who is transgender or gender expansive by a name other than their own chosen name, unquote. Now, the only infraction level above level 4 in Fairfax County, Virginia, is level 5, which includes homicide, sexual assault, and illegal possession of drugs or weapons. In other words, calling an actual she who pretends to be a he a she is just barely below the offense of killing somebody, and the punishments are completely arbitrary because they're left to the discretion of individual schools' principals or the school district superintendent. That said, in politics, any amount of pretending is generally accepted so long as you're a liberal. Now, you can pretend that President Trump colluded with the Russians. You can, if you're a liberal, pretend that the Steele dossier was real and used to get warrants based on it so you could spy on people. If you're a liberal, you can pretend that Hunter Biden's laptop is Russian disinformation, that the border is closed, that riots, arson, looting, and general mayhem is mostly peaceful, and that soccer moms are a threat to national security. Nobody will question you if you're a liberal and say that COVID-19 requires half a dozen shots and the wearing of at least 2 masks, even when you're alone in the shower. Question any of those things or simply exercise your right not to pretend along with the liberals, and you, Diane, become the subject of social media banishment and general ridicule, name-calling, cancellation of your job status, and widespread scorn. You know, the exact sort of bullying that the Keel, Wisconsin school district has a zero tolerance for in their system.
Well, you know what this really boils down to? They have taken the game of pretending and turned it into an actual lifestyle and a full reality for the people who inhabit their pretend place.
Yeah, you're right. Look, pretend your children belong to the government and that it takes a village to raise them, and there's no problem at all, but... You know, you be a good parent, you teach your children what's right, like Rosemary Rabideau did in Keel, Wisconsin, and you're a terrorist and your son is guilty of sexual harassment. Here's the final problem I see in all of this. All of the she-he's, he-she's, they's, them's, they's, and jars of mayonnaise think they're entitled to their own pronouns and that you are required to make believe right along with them. They're not. And neither are you. There's nothing in our founding documents that says you have the right not to be offended. And in this case, those who claim to be offended are simply pretending to be offended. You know, they're not really offended. For hundreds and hundreds of years, archaeologists have been digging up long dead people. And of the hundreds of thousands, maybe millions, they've unearthed the bones going back millions of years to a time before there were even humans. All they've ever found are males and females. Not once have they found any of the other 60-plus genders that people pretend exist and pretend to be offended over if you don't pretend they exist right along with them. Look, it's still a free country. And those who know that there are not 63-plus genders have every right to tell the truth of it to those who make-believe otherwise. Likewise, those who want to play make-believe have every right to do so, but not to expect me to be comfortable in their delusions. If you're offended by that, so be it. Your triggers are your responsibility, not mine. And it isn't mine or anybody else's obligation to tippy-toe around your fragile snowflake ass. You can pretend to be a fruit fly from France for all I care, but rest assured that the closest I'll ever come to placating your insanity is telling you to buzz off.
Yeah, this whole... basically what they're talking about here is transgenderism. And look, the bottom line is, and I don't know. You can mess with the innards a little bit. But until we can change someone's DNA, until we can change their genetic code, a he is still a he, and a she is still a she. And there are no they, thems, jars of mayonnaise, or anything else for two genders. Male, female, period.
And, you know, this thing is completely out of hand. All right? I mean, here you've got here you've got a girl that wants to be called they and them. All right? In Keel, Wisconsin. It's one person. One person cannot be a they.
Right.
All right? So, Braden Rabideau and a couple of his friends, they call her she or her, you know? They don't use the chosen pronoun because it's not correct.
Correct.
Right? And then she starts going off and screaming at one of the kids, yelling profanities. See, that's not a problem. That's not bullying right. in the Keel Public School District in Wisconsin. That's okay. But these kids not calling a single person they or them are suddenly guilty of sexual harassment? Holy crap. Yeah,
and what does that have to do with anything sexual? What does a name have to do with anything
a
sexual?
Pronoun. A
they
pronoun.
Didn't touch her. Yeah, a pronoun. They didn't do anything physical to this girl. You know, maybe this girl's parents need a good talking to if they're allowing this to continue.
Well, I think first person
you've done any.
Well, I was just going to say, I think the first person you have to give a good talking to is the principal of that school and the school district superintendent.
They should be fired. But have you done any research or do you know the answer? Was this charge finally dropped? Because the mother had given them till 5 p.m. of that particular week to take this off the kids' records, or she was going to sue them?
Right. This was last week. She had given them till 5 o'clock last Friday to drop this whole thing, or she was going to sue them. I have done some research into it. I have not been able to find that the charges have been dropped.
So, because they called a she, they called a they a she when she is the correct pronoun. These kids are going to have this charge on their records all the way through college.
Well, you know, they're
insanity.
You know, we're talking about a 13-year-old kid here, right? So it'll be on his record until he's 18. You know, because he's a juvenile now. But this is insanity. This is insanity.
But you apply to college. You're usually a lot of times 17 when you apply to college, and they're going to see this. I mean, this is a criminal act against these innocent boys. And that girl who thinks she's a they, she needs serious psychological help or a good kick in the ass.
Well, she'd have to pay double for it.
Yeah, right. Maybe triple.
You know, I mean, that's exactly the point here, right?
Yeah.
These kids did nothing wrong. In fact, they did everything right.
Right.
This girl is not a they or a them. That girl is a she or a her.
Okay? Exactly.
So they were being not only grammatically correct, they were being scientifically correct. And for that, they get charged with sexual harassment.
Yeah, it makes absolutely no sense. And the first one that should be fired is not only the teacher, but the principal. He should be out of a job immediately.
The principal, the school superintendent, the teacher, anybody that has anything to do with this. You know, but like I said in the commentary, it's not just Keel, Wisconsin. They're going to do this in Fairfax County, Virginia, too.
Yeah, well, that's a bastion of liberalism.
Yeah.
This is insanity. And this all started, you know, during the time of Obama. All this nonsense began then. And it's just gotten worse. Worse and worse.
You know, look, it's like I said, you're not entitled to your own pronouns. Okay?
No.
And, you know, if you want to pretend to be a jar of mayonnaise, by all means, be a condiment. Okay?
That's your favorite one.
You know? Well, because it's got to be absolutely the most ridiculous. Right?
I know. And if I didn't show it to you in that big chart, you wouldn't have believed me.
Folks, if you go back a couple of weeks and you go back in our podcast on rspradio1.com, the Podbean podcast, you will find Diane was doing an article. She's got this chart in the article. It's got like 60 or 65 of these supposed genders on it, right? And so while she's going through her segment of the show, I'm looking at that thing, and holy crap, I thought, what is that? And I blew it up. It's a jar of mayonnaise.
Yeah.
One of the genders. I was shocked.
Well, most of those are allowed on New York birth certificates and assorted other things like driver's licenses. So, you know, it's coming from a woke bastion.
Congratulations, Mrs. Sori. You've had a jar of mayonnaise.
I don't buy mayonnaise. I buy Miracle Whip, but that Miracle Whip is not on there.
I mean, it's just the dumbest damn thing ever.
Yes.
You know?
Beyond
but dumb. Look, if you want to pretend, you go right ahead and pretend. Okay? Just don't expect me to pretend right along with you. That's all. Yeah,
there's no law that says we have to play pretend.
No. No, but they're trying to make that the law. They're indoctrinating these kids, young kids, with this nonsense. And if they don't go along with it, they're going to get criminally charged. You know, that's what happened to this brave rabidu.
What's going to happen down the road when these kids grow up and realize, oh my God, I've been had?
Let's hope at some point they do realize that.
Yeah. It doesn't mean they will.
That's right. If you brainwash a kid early enough and you keep it up long enough, there's a good chance that kid will never snap out of it. And that's what liberals are counting on.
Right. Right. It's gotten to the point of ludicrousness, and it's dangerous. It's dangerous for mental health, for other people's stability. I mean, these poor two boys basically have to have eyes on the back of their heads now. Oh, I got some breaking news here, Craig. The death toll in the Texas shooting just rose to 19.
Ugh.
More children died. Yeah.
Now, I know there was a couple of children that, you know, as we started the show tonight, were in critical condition. I know of one, I believe it was a 60-something-year-old woman who was also in critical condition. Do we know if it was more children that died or was there an adult that died? Do we know those figures yet?
No, my contact just sent me a message that said the death toll up to 19.
Man.
That's all I know right now.
Well, folks, obviously.
Here it is. It's now 18 children. It's higher than 19, folks. It just went up again. 18 children and 3 adults so far are dead.
Wow. Obviously, yeah. We'll be talking more about that because more details will be coming in between now and Friday's show.
Yes.
My commentary, you can get two places. You can get it at my blog, thenationalpatriot.com, or rspradio1.com. Either place, you can get the link, and please share it everywhere. We would appreciate that. But, Diane, with that, you and I have run out of time for tonight.
Okay. Nighty-night, guys, and see you on Friday.
Have a great rest of the week, folks. We'll catch up with you on Friday. Bye-bye.